Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with my good friend, the king of Kentucky backpacking, although that has been scrutinized, Jeremiah Jerome Stringer. Jeremiah, I have to tell you something.
What's it?
I have to tell you that I've given Jason, Mr. Backpacking with Jason Sir, a brand new title.
What's the new title?
He is now the Emperor of Kentucky Backpacking.
What does he think about that?
He laughed. I put it on. He commented on a couple of our videos because I've been calling you the king of Kentucky backpacking.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm the king of Kentucky backpacking. I said, no, you're not. I said, you're the emperor.
That's funny, man.
I mean, you think about it. Emperor's pretty big. That's a lot bigger than a king. So
that's true. He conquers all.
You guys were just on a video together with an interview video. For As the Crow Flies Hiking.
Yeah, he does the Old Crow.
Old Crow Hiking Show.
Yeah, so Crow, this man is so on top of it. Like, I did one video in January. I've had a lot going on. Mainly, I don't remember if I told you, but at my day job, being a teacher, I went from teaching the same class all day. So, and it's a class I've taught like 50, 60 times. So, Right. Like, I know it inside and out. To, like, we're on trimesters, so we switch classes. And then I was teaching four different classes. And one of them I'd never taught before, and one I taught one time since I'd started teaching. So, like, going from teaching the same thing all day to four different things, and some of it, you know, you're learning as you go. You got to remember it from high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. It created a lot of chaos. So, anyway,
you got to write new curriculum, and you got to it's not like you're teaching a class you taught last semester, so you can't just pull the stuff you were using before.
Yes, but we switched classes in February, so I plan on trying to get back to doing weekly videos. Well, Crow, not only he is super on top of it, we recorded that video. I mean, it was definitely summertime.
July. It was July.
Yes. So it's been a while, but he is locked and loaded on his videos. I mean, he has them done way ahead of time.
Always, always. Well, and I don't know if you knew this, but you guys did that, and the next day I was on it. So I'm the next episode of that show.
Oh, wait. So you're saying that his next episode that's coming out, you're the guest?
I'm the guest on Sunday.
Oh, well.
And it's the finale of the show. He said he's not doing them anymore.
Ever?
Yeah, he said mine was so good, there was no point in even doing any more after that.
Well, I don't know if I believe that. I had to watch that.
But it is the finale. He was saying it is the finale. I actually posted something online about it today. So,
well, good. I had a lot of fun hiking with him. That brought back some good memories. We're sitting out there next to Dina Arch. You know where that is?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we sat out there, recorded that, and I was like, look at me sitting there eating on camera. What was I doing?
That big hat of yours.
Yeah, well, that's my sombrero.
Every time I see you in that hat, though, I think of, like, people working in rice fields.
Yeah, well, they don't like sunburns.
Well, no, that's a great hat for that.
Yeah, that's why
that's
I
what I
to
think
wear
of. Every time I see it, that's what I think of. I think of a guy working in a rice field.
Yeah, I understand. I got that one. It has, like, I think we were down in Daytona Beach, Bridget and I. I was shopping around for a hat like that. I was like, you know what would be the perfect hat for hiking? I need one with a giant bill on it, where my neck doesn't get sunburned, and it keeps the shoulders off of, or it keeps the sun off my shoulders. And it worked out perfectly. And it has like this beach feel to it. It's like kind of, I don't know, it reminds me of Bob Marley, the underside of it. It's got like fabric sewn around the underside. It's a straw hat, if nobody's seen it. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got your, it was funny, there were comments below the video. I don't know if you went through and read any of the comments that were on that video.
I read a few, but I haven't went through them all.
My favorite one was, how about that tan? I've not seen that much white meat since I had a chicken breast sandwich or something like that. It was like something funny like that.
People love making fun of pale people. And you know what? I think it's absolutely ridiculous. We need to put a stop to it.
Okay.
See, nobody will acknowledge my feelings. What's the deal? I can't even get back up from my own partner here.
Well, I'll back you up on some things, but I'm pretty pale myself. I mean, if you look in this picture right now, we're about as white as you're going to find.
Dude, every time I wear shorts, you know?
You never hardly wear shorts is the funny part.
Well, I wear them all summer. Of course, I don't see you all summer, but
yeah.
I'm on summer break, so I don't have to go to work. And, of course, I can't work in shorts because it's not professional enough. So,
but you still hike in pants.
I do sometimes. If I'm going through, like, stinging nettle and that kind of stuff, then I'll definitely wear pants. But if it's hot, I like the ones that zip off. You ever use those, the ones that zip off at the knee?
Yeah,
that's my go-to. But then, you know, I figured something out. More often than not, whenever I zip those off, then like the pant legs, let's say I'm on a 3-day trip, the pant legs just sit in the bottom of my backpack until I get home. And I'm like, why?
I never put them back on.
Yeah. I'm like, why did I even bring these?
Because they're kind of a pain in the butt to put back on.
They are annoying to put back on.
Getting them off is super easy, but putting them back on is a pain in the butt. Hey, I got something I want to show you.
Okay.
I just got it in the mail today.
Well,
you
want to
see it?
Yeah, what is
it? You
want
to see it?
Yeah. Let's see it.
I can't. It's behind my brick wall.
Oh.
Here, I'm going to get off the screen. You entertain people for a second. I'm going to show you.
John is so funny. You all don't know. Like, I'm shooting this. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm shooting it in my little YouTube studio. It's like the upstairs of my house. John, he's in his garage. And he's got his brick wall set up.
Okay, I was wrong. I was wrong. It wasn't behind the brick wall. It was sitting over to the side. So I made you do that for nothing. But check this out.
No worries. Yeah, go ahead.
Switch sides. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
I'm excited about this. Okay, it's my new bear bag.
Oh, look at you. I like that logo. Reminds me of Calvin Klein.
Well, you know, Calvin and I are good friends. And I helped design a lot of stuff for him. No, this is okay. So this bag, this is an interesting bag. You want to know why this is an interesting bag?
Why is that?
By the way, we have no plan on what we're talking about today. Like, for people that are watching, there's no plan. We're just kind of like shooting the breeze. I know we're going to talk about something you did this past weekend, but this is made out of something called eco. I'm probably should put it on this side. So for all the people who are watching online, this is EcoPack 50W. Okay.
What?
Now, why is that important, Jeremiah?
I don't know. You need to describe what it looks like for I think most people are listening.
This bag looks like a Dyneema bag.
Uh-huh. Snap top. Sounds like a Dyneema bag.
It's crinkly like a Dyneema bag. It's super durable. It's really lightweight. But the thing about this is it's made with EcoPack.
What does that even mean?
It's a 100% recycled material fabric.
Mm.
And I think I could be wrong on this. And if I am, I'm sure somebody will comment about it because people like to comment when we're wrong. But I believe that it's made from recycled water bottles.
I don't know how that works.
I don't either. I don't understand things like that because I'm just a simple backpacker who really likes the fancy things that we can get. But this fabric is supposed to be as strong as Dyneema, just about as light as Dyneema. And it's less expensive because, you know, right now there's a Dyneema shortage.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Companies are struggling to get their hands on Dyneema right now. So a lot of companies are pivoting because Dyneema is just not easy to get. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? So or hopefully we're on the downslope from a pandemic. But you know what I'm saying? And
I think it's
things are just harder to get.
I think it's endemic now.
Oh, that's right. Endemic. But we're in the midst of this and literally like, it's just nearly impossible to get Dyneema. So they're looking for new fabrics. And Ben over at Hilltop Packs found this version of EcoPack.
Huh.
And it's pretty sweet, man. It's pretty sweet. It's got a lower carbon footprint because of it being recycled,
mm-hmm.
which is good, you know, for the environment. It's obviously recycling bottles, which is great because that's one of the biggest forms of pollution in the world are plastic bottles. And it's got a lot of the same qualities as Dyneema. So it's a really cool alternative to it. And the inside is really interesting. It's really laminated.
Now, is it waterproof?
Yeah, it's waterproof, waterproof.
Is it waterproof because it's laminated or is it just the fact of how the fabric is like woven? Because if I remember correctly, Dyneema is like a not really woven as in the traditional thought of woven, like you're weaving on one of these old-fashioned fabric mills or whatever they are, but it is a woven fabric that is so tight that it's waterproof.
Yeah, I believe it is. From what I think, that's not in here, but I have somewhere, he gave me another sample of the fabric, just a simple sample of the fabric to check it out. And so I put it under my faucet and just filled it up with water and let it sit for a while. It just beat it up. I mean, it didn't even like try any, you know. Now, obviously, it's not, that wasn't a like in the field test of a rainstorm and it's sitting for overnight or anything like that. But it's rigid like Dyneema. It seems from everything that Ben has told me at Hilltop Packs, this is probably more of the direction they're going to end up going long haul with their bear bags and everything.
Is it cheaper to buy that as a manufacturer?
I believe so, but I'm not sure.
Now, I'm not going to get on a soapbox here. I don't want to spend too long on it, but Well, you don't even know what I'm going to say.
You got a microphone.
What if you hate it?
I don't care if I hate it or not. I'll just have fun with it.
Okay. I may be making this statistic up, and you can look it up if you want. But I believe that even if everybody recycled everything that they bought, like all your milk containers, soda cans, all that stuff, anything that you would stereotypically think of recycling, then that would only reduce like the amount of materials. How do I say this? If we did all that, it would only be like a 25 or 30% reduction, because the vast majority of all of the pollutants that we put out is from manufacturing. It is like large companies. So
right,
everybody, like I literally just set up my recycling. It runs tomorrow, and it's a full like giant trash can size that they give you at Waste Connections or whatever the trash place is.
Right.
And they pick it up once a month where I live. And if everybody did that, I still think it's helping. But if we could get manufacturers to be on board, then everything, the cost of goods would go way up, I'm pretty sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying though. Like this, the manufacturing of this leaves less of a carbon footprint because of it being recycled material.
Good. That's
you know
what
I'm saying. That's what I'm pointing at. Like that's one of the points of it. It should, the manufacturing of that should also help with that as well.
But I'm saying in an ideal world, every manufacturer would be looking at reducing the amount of pollutants that they're creating just by manufacturing. I think, I can't remember where I heard it, but I thought it was like 70% of the pollution is coming from the manufacturers, like big companies, I guess.
Yeah. You know. Well, and what's cool is the backpacking industry as a whole, like we've got a lot of these tents that are coming out now where they're solution dyed or whatever, where they don't, I'm thinking that's the right term. If I'm not right about that, somebody just tell us. I mean, you probably will anyways, if we are, but they're using something that doesn't use as much water and doesn't use as much, I'm terrible at this kind of stuff because I don't do this, but like the whole point of it is it's better for the environment the way they're doing the tents now for a lot of these companies. I think Nemo's actually coming out with a new tent. It's going to be gray instead of the bright yellow because of the whole pollutants and carbon footprint and all that kind of stuff.
Now the tent colors, let's say you got to pick whatever tent color you wanted. What is your go-to and why? Or do you not care? Because I deeply care.
I don't know if I care, to be honest with you. I really don't know if I care. I'd like to be able to see my tent. So, which is funny because I just bought an olive green tent, or I just got an olive green tent from Gossamer Gear and a gray tent from Mountain Hardware. So, but I would think I would rather have something I can see. So when I get to my campsite, if we like have a base camp and go hiking and come back, I want to be able to see my tent.
I told you about not being able to find my tarp, didn't I?
No, you did not tell me about this.
One time I was on a trip, and it was me and Jason and some of his buddies. And we went out, you know, had a campfire, some adult activities, and then it was time for bed. And I was like, man, where is my tarp? It is navy blue. It's that giant one that Miyagi had made.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm telling you, I searched probably for 5 or 10 minutes looking around for it. Couldn't find it. Had to go back to the fire and ask those guys to help me find it. I didn't tell you about this?
No.
Yes, dude. And they helped me find it. And the way we spotted it was, I had line locks where you stake it out, right? So all those pullouts were line locks, and the cordage through them had some reflectix in it.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
If it hadn't been for that, I would have been searching a little longer. That just caught our eye because it was like midnight, so it's pitch black out. And yeah, I probably should have mentioned the setting. It was midnight and pitch blackout, and I couldn't find it. It wasn't just like, oh, I've misplaced this 13-foot tarp.
Well, that's what I was kind of like sitting there thinking to myself, like, what time of day is this?
Well, let me rewind. We had made it to camp, set all up, had a campfire and everything, hung out, and then, you know, it's time for bed, so it's late. And since it's pitch blackout and the tarp was navy blue, let's just say no longer a fan of the navy blue, or I guess I would have to sew some reflectix around the outside of it or something.
Yeah. Or I use reflective cordage on everything for that reason, though, because I want to be able to find my stuff at night.
Yeah, the bear bag especially. Like, it's pretty hard to misplace your tarp. Usually you're camped right next to it, right?
Yeah.
So that's a rare occurrence. But anyway, the color. Have you ever had an issue with, like, bugs and stuff because of the color of your tent?
No.
I think that if you have brightly colored backpacking materials, then it can attract things just like a flower.
Really?
Yeah. I only have anecdotal evidence for this.
But you're not also telling people that you like to spray all of your stuff with perfume.
Perfume?
No. Yeah, we know how you are, man.
Permethrin. Is it permethrin or permethrin?
Permethrin, yeah.
Permethrin. I use that.
I use that too.
Yeah,
that stuff's great. That stuff is great.
What's the one that melts the gear?
Picaridin. Is that right?
Picaridin.
Picaridin lotion.
Picaridin. One.
Oh no, you're thinking DEET. DEET's what melts. Yeah, DEET's what melts.
That's what it is, because it melted. Yeah. It melted some of my gear. I don't spray that on everything.
I don't spray that on anything. Yeah.
The permethrin.
You got to be careful with permethrin not to get it on your skin too much either. I mean, you can get a little bit on, but not too much, because that can cause some serious painful irritation.
Doesn't the bug spray, doesn't that kind of absorb in your skin, and that's what causes the bugs to not be able to find you?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know about that.
I think mosquitoes, I'm pretty sure it's the carbon dioxide you're breathing out, ain't it? Ain't that how they find you?
I have no idea. You're talking about things I've never heard before.
We need to hire a fact checker.
I've just heard that when you smell really bad, because like, bugs like things that smell bad, like dead bodies and poop. So,
well,
that when you smell really bad and you're really sweaty, that kind of attracts them.
I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I was gonna
look it up. Like, we're live, not really, but I mean, we're live for us. I'm gonna go find out. Hey, by the way, guess what I have that you don't?
What is it?
I have merch.
Oh, congratulations! You launched it.
I have merch. Yeah, I have. And I've actually made some sales already, which is pretty cool. I've got some stuff coming in for me to wear so I can have it. You know, I've got a really cool hat, dude. Really cool hat. It's my Calvin Klein John Kelly hat.
You're in the merch, bro.
I got the merch. Let's see. Does sweat attract bugs?
Guess what I have that you have?
What?
The quick draw.
You got one.
Yeah, I got one. I took it with me. Took it with me recently twice and didn't get to use it.
Oh, okay. I took it out with me when Flash and I went out not too long ago, but I didn't get to use it because we just kept water in the truck, and we got to the truck, we went to our campsite, and we had enough water. We didn't have to, like, go get any water while
we
were there.
That is the best.
Yeah. So, okay, here we go. If you're wondering what scents attract the bugs the most, I'm about to fill you in. From perfumes to deodorants, lotions, and laundry detergent, you're probably carrying more scents than you realize, but it's not what's on the outside that makes you. It's also what's inside. What you eat and drink can attract mosquitoes and annoying bugs.
Who's writing this?
And scientists have known for a long time that mosquitoes smell people. They do not see us, but instead they smell us, said Dr. Fritos Okumu, according to ABC. It is the things that we produce in our breath and sweat of skin that mosquitoes use as a signal to find us. So if you're wearing socks, these skin-derived chemicals remain on the sock fabric and can still be detected by mosquitoes even after you remove your socks.
Man.
But it's not just the scents. This goes on with what you were saying. You ready for this?
CO2.
Fairer complexions. Complexions are more likely to avoid getting ravaged at a picnic.
To avoid it. Shout out to my pale people.
While lighter colored clothing can also keep bugs away. What does that mean? If you're wearing a dark floral pattern, think black or blue, while rocking a glorious tan, you are making yourself a prime target for those mosquitoes. So for once in your life, Jeremiah, being albino is the best thing in the world.
What? I'm not albino. That's a real medical condition.
Well, you're close.
No.
So, okay, so here there. Here are the five things. Here are the five, number five, the top five scents that attract mosquitoes. You ready for this?
All right, hit me with it.
We got floral scents, stinky shoes, socks, men. Yes, avoid men this summer.
Wait a second.
Mosquitoes are more attracted to men because they are typically larger, therefore produce more heat and sweat. If you want to avoid getting bit, sit next to the ladies or just avoid hot and sweaty gatherings.
Those sexist mosquitoes.
And the fifth one is beer.
Beer attracts mosquitoes?
Beer. Some studies show that those who drink a few adult beverages are more likely to get eaten up by mosquitoes and other insects. Beer is a powerful attractant, and so are other sugary drinks like soda and lemonade. Opt for water. How about that?
I still think that, like, my bright yellow tint attracts a lot of bugs.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I think that they think it's a giant flower. And they're like hypnotized by this giant flower, and then they all got to flock to it.
Yeah, you're probably right. Also, though, if you don't want bugs, you can use scents like citronella, peppermint, and eucalyptus.
Or apparently be a woman.
Or be a woman, yeah.
Yeah.
So being a pale woman.
Ideal. Pale woman.
Is ideal. Wearing light clothes.
Yeah.
A pale white woman wearing light clothes.
Odorless, too. Completely odorless. No perfumes.
Don't sweat at all and don't drink any alcohol.
Don't sweat.
And you will never attract bugs.
Yes.
Ever.
Water instead. Now, I'm telling you, dude, I'm onto something with the tents.
You could be right, though. You're not wrong. I mean, it said bright colors.
Now, here's another issue with the tent. You know I like to sleep in. So
yeah, you do.
I want an opaque tent. We bought these blackout curtains for the house, and what gets me every time is the light that comes in above them. It still wakes me up.
Yeah.
Now, it's probably like 10 a.m., but it still wakes me up, you know?
And do people realize that you're living the high life now?
No, I've been getting up at 6:30 every morning.
No, that's all I'm talking about. I'm talking about your house.
Oh, I have a normal house.
Dude, your house is not normal. Like, that is a nice house.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that YouTube money must be good these days.
It's not the YouTube money. It's now for real. Like, so people don't know, since 2017, my wife and I have been doing like the kind of, we loosely follow Dave Ramsey's financial plan. And yeah. I would advocate for anybody to check that out, because you can definitely make some big changes with finances. I mean, I could now, but yeah. We're very blessed. Thank you, John.
Yeah, no, your house is beautiful, man. When I got there, I was like, your house was nice before, like your old house. When we rolled up into the new house, I was like, dang, bro, living good. Plus, you live in Somerset, so let's just shoot straight for a second for people who don't realize. Your house would be more than $500,000 if you lived in Lexington.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was not even close to that for what you bought it for.
Yeah, just got a ping pong table, too.
Yeah. Oh, when did you get a ping pong table?
Oh, found it on Facebook Marketplace, man.
I know what we're doing next time I come to your house.
Are you good at ping pong?
Yeah, bro. I love ping pong.
No.
Yeah, dude.
So you come down. We'll record. Yeah. We'll record an episode of the podcast. Play some ping pong. So Miyagi and Trips, they came down from Wisconsin last weekend here. And,
yeah. I saw you guys playing shuffleboard.
Yes. Yeah. I took them to the same restaurant we went to.
Yeah. That place is great.
Yeah. And then we played a little shuffleboard, and I told them that it was cornstarch. Told Bridget.
Yeah, you found that out?
Yes. And Miyagi and Trips, I'm pretty sure they're in a league for shuffleboard.
Oh, probably.
They
but
are.
Miyagi's good at everything. Let's just, let's just stop for 1 second and let's just sit in the awe of the presence of the Miyagi, because there is nothing he's not good at.
That is probably true, except maybe being tall. He's not good at being tall.
But that may be why he's so good at everything.
You think that's what it is?
He gets annoyed at everybody talking about how short he is. Like, prove everybody wrong by being like, I don't care how short I am, I'm better at you than everything.
He is so... I've been on a lot of trips with him, I think. I don't know. Maybe just made that up. I've been on trips with him, though. And he does so much cinematography. You'll see him jogging past you, and he's like, all right, going to get a walk-by shot. And then he'll jog past you. I don't care what the elevation is, how far you've walked today. He's go, go, go. And then he'll get the shot, and then he'll be like, all right, catch y'all later. And then he'll jog up to the group in front of you. And then like 30 minutes later, he'll come back. Y'all doing okay? He's a beast, man. He does these like FKT styles.
Well, and it's funny because he films so much. But you're talking about how Crow has all these videos backed up.
Uh-huh.
Dude, Miyagi's backed up a year and a half.
No way.
Easily. Easily.
So,
like, we did a trip last May to Pictured Rocks, and he still never put that video out.
Now, I love Miyagi and Crow. The one thing that I don't, this is going to be I love you, but.
Oh, that means you don't really love them.
Here comes an I love you, but.
Oh, no.
This is just my style. And what everybody else did doesn't matter. Like, we can all do whatever we want.
Right.
But I like my environment to match the outside environment time of year. I just feel like I get a little bit of disconnect if I'm editing the video. And then whenever I watch it, let's say there's 10 inches of snow, but in my video I'm on the beach.
It just depends. Do you live in California or Florida?
Well, it doesn't matter because there's 10 inches of snow outside right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know what the weather's like right now on the coast of California, but I assume it's still wintertime. Maybe in the 60s, maybe in the 70s, but it's probably not 100 degrees.
That's true.
Yeah. Plus, California, that is a very diverse area. Right.
It really is, man. You go to Northern California, it's way colder than here.
Yeah, and the elevation.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely different. But those guys, I love that they hustle, man. I'm so lazy that I couldn't do that. It just wouldn't be possible for me.
Well, and honestly, I can't get out that many weekends.
Well, you don't have to.
But you know what I'm saying? They go on a lot more trips than I do just because they can.
Yeah.
I just don't have the ability to get out as often as they do. I couldn't, even if I wanted to, I couldn't do the number of videos that those guys pull off.
Yeah, and they'll travel too. Like Miyagi,
yeah, they do.
He lives 8 hours from me, 7.5 hours straight drive, no stop.
He lives 15 minutes from where I used to live.
Yeah, so you know how far it is.
Yeah.
Is that a boring drive?
Horrible through Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
The Indiana part's the worst. The part north of Indianapolis, like it's just... It's flat, it's cornfields, and then there's these creepy windmills.
Yeah.
For like 20 miles, and then you're past that, and then it's Chicago. So, yeah, it's a boring drive. Then Chicago traffic is just Chicago traffic.
Sorry, Hoosiers.
You know, Indiana's a good state. It really is. But that section of 75 or whatever it is, or 64 or 65 or whatever it is, I think it's 65. It's miserable, man.
No, is it 65? Yeah, that runs through Louisville.
65. Yeah, it's 65.
Yeah, you're right. I never take it, though. I take 75.
Yeah.
It runs straight up, too.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Miyagi and Trips, they came down to the house, and here was the plan. Well, initially, there was no plan, but Miyagi's pretty anal about having a plan. Like, if you take a trip with him... You know,
you get a 10-page itinerary.
Oh,
with pictures,
bro!
And
yeah. I guarantee you, whatever the plan is, it's going to have some staples because it's going to be multiple pages thick.
Oh, every time. Yeah.
Yes, when we went to the Smokies, I mean, we had weather forecasts, we had elevation charts, we had a full like paragraph by paragraph of all the things. I mean, it's just so much. So we're a couple weeks out, and I was like, you know, I'll get this plan together, And he's like, oh, you really going to have a plan? So we're in this group text, my wife and I, and then Miyagi and Trips. And I was like, yeah. And then I just sat down and wrote it out. But I had some fillers in there. I had like the time schedule for when we were going to do different things, where we were going, all this, where we're going to meet.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what we were going to do. So I just was like writing do stuff. Yeah. And they came to the house. We went out to dinner and then come back and we played ping pong. Okay.
Yeah.
Hung out and played ping pong. Now, the plan that I had written him was I was like, okay, we got to plan this out. UK plays at 1 p.m. They're playing the number two team in the nation. We need to watch this game.
How'd that go?
It didn't go well. It didn't go well. After they beat us, they were number one. They're still number one.
Yeah. Hey, that was a good game.
Different conversation, though. We can get into that if you want to, but different conversation.
We're good. I just wanted to bust on you a little bit.
So, anyway, I was like, we need to watch this game. This is like a big-time game. It's on CBS. It's got a March Madness feel to it. The problem was where we were going, which is in Tennessee, the nearest town that we were going to go through was Jamestown, Tennessee. Now, if I'm going to watch a game, normally I'm going to go to like a sports bar. You know, you can get some wings. You can watch the game, hang out. But there's not one. You know, there's like a Garcia's Mexican restaurant. And I was like, there's no way they're going to have the game. And then there's McDonald's and Sonic. And, you know, there's one bar in the entire city. And it's outside the city and opens at 5 p.m., which is after the game. And I think it's a biker bar. So I was probably, like, they're probably not going to have the game either. And it opens at 5. So that's not an option. So I was like, we'll figure it out. Maybe we can grab some food, hang out in Jamestown, watch the game. But once we started playing ping pong, we couldn't stop. And before I knew it, it was like 1 a.m. The ladies were both already asleep and had been for a while. And I felt so bad for Trits because like one of the guest rooms that we have is in the basement, right? And that's where the ping pong table is.
Right.
And Trits.
Is that where they were staying?
Yeah, they stayed in the basement. It's a little more private. So she goes into the guest room, which literally the door's open. The only thing separating the ping pong table and the guest room is that wall, you know. And we're
and
yelling.
You guys weren't quiet.
No, we're yelling. We're excited. Miyagi has beaten me like 30 times in a row. I'm not kidding, man. I think I won 4 sets the whole time.
I told you. I knew it, dude. I knew that. Like, he's good at everything.
He's a beast, bro. He's everything. A beast. So I'll get better at ping pong. So anyway, we played till like 1 a.m. Now, we were supposed to leave the house at 7 a.m.
That didn't happen.
No. Like, we...
That didn't happen.
So the plan was we wanted to leave the house at 7. It was like an hour, hour and a half drive. We were going to go hike, do like a 4 or 5 mile loop, then go get some lunch, okay?
And then watch the game.
Watch the game. Then we would have enough time before dark to get another like half mile, like walk out, check out and overlook or whatever, walk back. Wouldn't take too long. It's all flat, easy hike. Just cool to check out. Then go set up camp and be able to start a fire before it got dark.
Yeah.
Well, 1 a.m., I'm not joking, bro. I guarantee you we didn't get out of the bed. Now, Miyagi probably got up at 4:30. I don't know. But I think I got up at like 9:30 the next morning. We're supposed to leave at 7.
Right.
Okay. Got up 9:30, dragging around. I still had to pack my clothes for the trip. You know, I packed my camping stuff after they got to the house. And we were car camping. And then we rolled out probably 10:30 or so. And we made it like 2 miles on the hike and had to bail. Had to bail.
Why'd you have to bail, Jeremiah?
Dude, you know how cold it's been, right? Like every night it's getting down in the teens.
Yeah, oh yeah, it was 10 degrees this morning when I got up.
Yep, it was 16 degrees when I got to work, I think. Okay, well, that's not a big deal when you're hiking, except where we were going, which we were doing Honey Creek Loop in Big South Fork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Well, it's like a rainforest down there, man.
It is, yeah. So there's water everywhere.
Yeah, what do you think happens to that water when it's 11 degrees?
It freezes.
The trail, I'm not joking, dude. Some parts we had to like go around and take detours. It took us, I think it was like 2.5 hours to walk at 2 miles. Like it was rough. So we started at the trailhead.
That should have been your 5 mile loop.
Exactly. Yeah, we should have been done. Started at the trailhead, made it to the overlook, which was a couple miles in, and then we're like, okay. Some parts of the trail, it was like 20, 30 feet of trail, just straight frozen ice. I may be exaggerating a little. I don't know. The only people that could tell are Tripp, Miyagi, and Bridget, so you'll never know.
I'll tell you what. Big South Fork is great hiking, except when it rains.
Yeah.
Like, it is just, it's a mud slick, especially like was it Peter's Mountain? That area? It's just a mud slick, man. I've never been so angry. It's the only place I've ever hiked where I was angry hiking. Seriously, I'm not even kidding you. Like, I've talked about it on here before. It's the only place where I've hiked and I was actually angry. Like, I actually yelled at one point. I was so mad. I just had to, like, let out a primal scream because I was so tired of falling down because it was just hiking up a mud slick the whole time. But I can't imagine what happens when that freezes.
Dude, it was, the mud was frozen. That wasn't so bad. And some parts, like the ice, it was like you took the ice out of your freezer and just threw a foot deep of it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So some of it you could walk on because it's frozen all around stuff. But anyway, we had to bail and we stopped at the overlook and just road walked back to the vehicle, which is like a mile. And that took no time. Yeah. No, it took like 15, 20 minutes. Like we were booking it. Had no packs on or anything. We were just day hiking.
Yeah.
And then we went and set up at Pickett State Park. Now, we skipped the whole Jamestown fiasco. I watched the end of the game while we were walking to the car because we were on a ridge and had service.
I'm sorry. You watched the worst part of the game.
It was rough. I'm pretty sure we don't have anything to worry about, though. I won't go deep here because I know our fans probably don't care about University of Kentucky basketball. But if we're healthy.
I don't care about University of Kentucky basketball, so it's all good.
You said you root for them as long as they're not playing Ohio State.
I root for them, but I don't care. I root for them.
Well, I try to watch every game.
It's kind of like my friend's kids. If my friend's kids are playing, you know, like a Pee Wee League football game and I go, I'm going to cheer for them. I don't care, but I'm going to cheer for them. You know what I mean?
You're such a nice friend.
It's just, I mean, I'm going to cheer for UK, but I mean, I don't care if they win or lose. Like, if they lose, I guess that's bad, but I'd rather they win.
I'm the guy pacing around the living room, you know, can't sit down. It's the end of the game. Yeah, I did watch the worst part, but we had a lot of injuries, so.
Yeah.
We'll be okay. Yeah. We'll be okay in March. So,
okay, we got like 8 or 9 minutes, because I got a heart out here in a few minutes, but tell me about this hot tent that you guys stayed in.
Okay.
Because you weren't just car camping. You were hot tent car camping.
Yes.
So tell me about this hot tent. I want to hear about it.
Okay. So we left the hike, drove to Pickett State Park. All right. It's on the border of Kentucky and Tennessee, right next to Big South Fork. And I didn't reserve the campsite ahead of time because I wanted to check them out. Now, we got there so late. We drove around, checked out the campsite, and then I was like, Miyagi, let's me and you leave the ladies here. We'll drive back up to the ranger station or whatever and pay for the site. Got there, walked up to the door, and it said hours. They close at 4:30 p.m. I looked at my watch. It was 4:28. I pulled on the door. It was open. Went inside, and I was like, we too late? She was like, nope, right on time. So we got the site. Picked out a level one so we could set out our tents. Bridget and I set up our tent, which was the palace, the tri-arch, north face. Miyagi starts setting up his tent, and I hear a drill. This guy has a lithium battery-powered drill, and he is setting up his tent. And it is like 13, 15 feet long. I mean, it's huge. He has ratchet straps running between two trees, and he's got these poles that are like 8 feet tall. And he sets his tent up, and it's made of the same stuff that our tarps that we tried out and the one that I bought from the Thunderfly. So, same material. I don't remember what it is, but same material as Thunderfly. So, war bonnet, they use it. And he had sewn this tarp together, and he's like, dude, this is so much smaller than it was. This thing is gigantic, and he had to trim it down.
I saw pictures.
He set it up. We had a full table in there, like full folding table. 4 camp chairs, wood stove, and I started splitting wood for this wood stove. You know, I was like, we need some really small stuff to put in there. This man is taking full-size split wood and putting it in the stove after he gets the coals burning. This thing was, I mean, It was like living in a castle, dude.
Oh, I bet it was awesome.
It was so warm. And Bridget was like, yep. Yep. I like this. So,
well, given how cold it was, man, how could you not like that?
Well, we slept. That was the coldest Bridget's ever slept down in. It was like 22 degrees, something like that.
Yeah, it was a chilly night. That's for sure.
We stayed in the hot. Go ahead.
It's just me. It's just Miyagi proving that, again, he's just good at everything.
Dude, he knows what's up. He can make.
He does, man.
Trailcraft Designs. That's the name of his gear company.
He's great, man. I'll tell you what. Like, Miyagi's just one of those. I tell people, like, when they ask, like, do you know Miyagi? I'm like, yeah, I said it. He's just like one of those salt of the earth kind of people.
Yeah, he's got, you know? His YouTube channel is Miyagi on the Trail. So yeah. If y'all want to go check it out.
Please do. I don't know why he doesn't have like 35,000 subs.
I don't know.
It just doesn't make any sense. But he's just awesome. And Trips is awesome. And they're just fun people.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We hung out, played cards. And then Bridget and I, we went back to our tent whenever it's sleepy time. And I had her bundled up, man. She looked like she's in a little cocoon. She had She had quilt, sleeping bag zipped up, and then I threw another sleeping bag on top of her. And well, then
she was plenty warm then.
Yeah, and then she woke up the next day, and she was like, you know, I woke up, and you had the sleeping bag on you that you put on me. And I was like, I did not wake up in the middle of the night and move it, but I can't convince her that I didn't. I know.
You probably did. You probably did, man. How dare you?
I was sleepwalking. A little sleepwalking action. But yeah, that was her trip, man. It was a lot of fun. Miyagi trips. We probably should have went to sleep a little earlier, but it all turned out to be a great trip.
Oh, that sounds awesome, man. Well, dude, I got to get out of here. My daughter has to go to dance.
Oh, so precious.
So, yeah, she's a cutie, man. She's a... There's nothing quite like helping your little girl get her leotard on so she can go to dance.
Dad of the year right here.
There you go, bro. There you go. Man, this has been fun. We're going to talk more about this probably off air at another time, but I can't wait to hear more about this hot tent thing, man, because, like, honestly, that's one of those things I want to get my hands on at some point.
Oh, me too, man.
Definitely want to get my hands on. I may be getting myself a stove at some point, so then I just got to get the tent to go with it. So yeah. We'll see what happens.
One step at a time, brother.
One step at a time. That's right. With that said, for myself and Jeremiah, Jerome, King of Kentucky Backpacking Stringer, the Albino Wonder, we will catch you guys on the next one.
Adios, folks.